with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha filling in solo today for Aaron Skinny Calc. He's out and about. In fact, a great firefighters golf tournament happening right now out at the Oak City Golf and Country Club. So he's filling in over there. So I'm filling in right here. And I'm going to try to do this by myself, although I might have some call-in guests a little bit later. I know I got a couple on the line that have said that they will call in, or I call them, and help me out. And we'll get through this hour together as one. Be a part of the show, though. You can call in if you want. Help me out. 580-225-9698. Or you could text on in. Tell us what you're thinking about. Ask a question. Give us your insight, your opinion on anything sports or anything really that's going through, that's happening, that's trending right now. Let's hear about it. That is the Skinny on Sports text line. I'm out of wind because I forgot to tell the girls something up front, and I ran down the hall to give them a heads up right when the intro was firing off, and I ran back. So I'm trying to catch my breath all at the same time. Hey, and also you can listen to the show, an archive version of the show. KADSAM.com is where I like to tell people to start. Right there on the front page, as soon as it's posted, it's right there at the very, very top front page. Click it, listen to it. Also, follow us on Facebook. I posted on Facebook too, having some issues with the podcast. So those are the two best ways that you can listen to a replay of the show or any show that we remember to record, which I am recording right now. And you can do it that way. And, yeah, so follow us on Facebook, too, the Skinny on Sports on our Facebook page. Again, we put all of our shows right there and also some other tidbits, too. Let's see. What are we going to talk about today? This could be a little bit of a rundown. Big 12 baseball tournament is underway. Day two was yesterday, but it was the day one for the top seeds, including OU and OSU. We'll talk about how they did and look at the schedule for today and look at this tournament overall and what it means. Also, college softball, super regionals, they will start today. In fact, only two out of the eight super regionals will start today, and one of them right here in this state. Give a quick preview on that one. And a little bit later, we'll talk about, and we'll probably revisit this topic more often than not, more often this summer, that is. It is college football top five storylines that we're looking forward to going into the college football season. I know it's late May, but like Aaron said, it's kind of in that down period of sports, especially with the Thunder getting eliminated. We're just kind of looking for things to talk about, and usually that's where everybody's attention turns to. Now, I know softball has become immensely popular, especially in this state, with both OU and OSU being very, very good the last few years, and then the College World Series in Oklahoma City. But then really after that, it's kind of, well, we could watch a lot of baseball, a lot of Major League Baseball, or we could talk about a lot of college football, which is just on the horizon, if you think about it, just right around the corner at the end of the summer. And there's a lot of top storylines. This year is very intriguing regarding college football, with a lot of big moves, obviously, with some schools and new conferences, not just OU and Texas, but a lot of others too. Of course, the Pac-12 pretty much done. The new playoff format, what's that mean? All that stuff. So we will talk about that too. Again, you want to be a part of the show, I'd love it if you were. 580-225-9698. Text on in, call on in, and we will put you on the air. Also, we'll talk a little bit about NBA. Reluctantly, I might add, because I get a little bitter. I'm a little immature in this way when my team is eliminated. Obviously, the Thunder, a lot of ours team out there. And then I just kind of, well, you know, whatever. I'm not really interested anymore. But I am and I'm not. Because like I've said about the Thunder, whatever happened in the playoffs was an absolute bonus because I've always felt like they're ahead of schedule. Aaron's kind of reflected that, saying their championship window's not even open yet. Like maybe it creeped open just a little bit after this season. But for me, though, it was like, you know, whatever happens in the playoff happens, and I'll be happy with it. I was very happy with the sweep in the first round. I was very happy with their fight going down in six to Dallas in the semifinals. But Western Conference Finals started last night. Of course, the Eastern Conference Finals started a couple nights ago. We didn't even talk about that, how crazy of a game that was and a chance that Indiana had, the Pacers had, to win that game. Went to overtime. And look, let's face it, they blew it. They absolutely blew it. There's some coaching blunders. And I think that was their only opportunity, not only opportunity just to win a game, but I mean to get off on the right foot and maybe, you know, put some pressure on the Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals if they won the steal one. I think that was their opportunity, and they absolutely blew it. And now it just wouldn't surprise me if the next three are not that close. But I've seen some crazier things. I thought they were done after going down 0-2 to the Knicks, and they came back and won that. So who knows? But Boston is so good. When you have opportunities to beat a really good team like that, you have to do it. They didn't do it. Last night, the Mavs took on the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they held on to win it 108-105. Now, this series could go to distance, I think. I felt like Timberwolves were the slight favorite. I'll still lean that way. No one's asked me my opinion of how many games that the Timberwolves could win or what the series would be like, but I think it will be seven. I think Timberwolves in seven. I think Dallas is kind of turning into this team of destiny and peaking at the right time, especially with Irving and Doncic, with Luka. I'm sure I butchered his last name right there, so I'll just stick with the first name, Luka. They had a combined 66 points in last night's win. Other standouts, Gafford with 10 and Washington with 13, but what stood out to me, only 2 of 8 from outside. Now, he didn't have a great game 6 against the Thunder. He did at the end, obviously, but shooting outside, it wasn't that great. But he's just 2 for 8 there, and wouldn't that be the way? He suddenly cools off, and he's just a mediocre average at best in this series. After he just went off against the Thunder. It's usually how it works, right? And Hardaway, too. He had no points last night. But the Mavs look good. They look good against the Timberwolves, who, he's scoring 108 points against that Timberwolves defense. Pretty good. And that's what Dallas did. So they take a quick 1-0 lead in that one right there. But I still think Minnesota will be okay in that series. And I think it'll be I think it's going to be the most entertaining series. And Aaron and us talked about, you know, what is our – we got the Stanley Cup Finals happening. By the way, Florida winning over the Rangers last night in the Eastern Conference Finals 3-0. And the Western, I believe that's tonight, game one of the Western Conference Finals between Edmonton and Dallas. I could be mistaken, but I can look that up. But we were talking about what is our favorite of the four conference finals, which is great. I don't know if I like it that they play at the same time, the hockey and the basketball conference finals. They pretty much are right at the same time. They always have been. The part of me likes it because it I'm efforting the score, so I'm trying to filibuster here. Part of me likes it because, like I said, when the Thunder are out, gives me an opportunity to I'll turn my attention to hockey, and then I kind of attach to a team or not, just watch them. But when you're interested in both at the same time, it could be pretty cool when it works out, when one event is one night followed by the next night and the next night. But last night, the two were happening at the same time. Now, tonight, it will be game one. Oilers visiting the Stars in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm rooting for the Oilers because of everything I mentioned before about when they had that affiliation with the state of Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City Barons were the AAA affiliate. I believe that's what they call it in hockey. The farm team, the feeder team for the Oilers way back when. And I enjoyed going to those games. Really cool. It had that little mini NHL atmosphere because the talent level was just right there to be good enough at times for those guys to get called up. So I was attached to the Oilers in that regard. And I think this series is going to be a lot of fun because they're playing Dallas, which is a team of proximity to our area. So there's going to be a lot of interest in that series right there, and which I've always been curious. I'd love to know if you want to text in and tell me, do you like hockey? I mean, we're in Western Oklahoma. There's not a hockey rink within. I mean, you have to go to Oklahoma City. I think that'd be the closest one. Maybe Amarillo. So hockey and us out here in Western Oklahoma, it's kind of a foreign concept, but do you like it? I've seen some rumblings on Facebook, some people who I never thought would watch a hockey game kind of say, hey, I'm watching this hockey thing. It's pretty cool. I'd love to know your opinion. Do you watch hockey? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Why either way? Kind of a social study right here. 580-225-9698. Let me know if you like watching hockey. Because I'm telling you, and Aaron says this too a lot, totally agree. This is the time to watch hockey. It's just kind of like basketball. You can watch it during the regular season, but it's totally different during the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the intensity level is high from the moment the puck drops to the end of the third period. And don't give up on a game when it's 3-0, like what happened to the Oilers on Monday night when they got up quickly in the second period, 3-0 to Vancouver. Then here comes Vancouver, scored a couple goals in the third with about 5 minutes left to go in the game. Those final 5 minutes was a lot of fun to see the Oilers hold on and win that game to advance. And I don't expect anything less in this series coming up tonight between the Oilers and the Stars. Like I said, though, in the Eastern Conference, it's really good. This applies to every sport, every major sport. When New York or L.A. are in any kind of championship game, when the Dodgers are playing for a World Series, I'm watching. It's good. It's fun for me. Or the Yankees are playing for the World Series. In basketball, if Boston can continue their run, it's good for the NBA. That's their last hope of a major market to get in there. Dallas, I would say Dallas is major. Some people, that city has grown so much. I mean, within even the last decade, I would almost put Dallas in that major category. But the same thing with hockey. When the Rangers are in, when they're good, when the New York Rangers are good in hockey, it is really fun. A Madison Square Garden in hockey, I think that's like a bucket list thing I want to put on my bucket list of sports events I'd like to attend. I think that'd be really, really cool to see hockey in a meaningful hockey game like this one in Madison Square Garden. Well, that's what they had last night. But here comes this team, the Florida Panthers. I know they're out of the state of Florida. I couldn't tell you what town. Maybe Orlando? I'm not sure. But they got the win 3-0, take a 1-0 advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight's game between the Oilers and Stars happens at 7:30. So should be a fun one right there. I'm kind of hopping all over the place, but back to basketball. Tonight, I believe, is game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm at the mercy of a slow computer, and I was typing fiercely to prep for the show, and I did not get to the NBA, but I believe that's right. And can the Pacers bounce back after that devastating loss? I mean, if you wanted to steal one on the road, that was the time to do it in game 1, and they couldn't do it. We'll see if they make adjustments, if they can figure it out. But I think the Celtics, I think they're going to be okay in this one. I think Vegas has them at about an 8.5-point favorite. And Jason Tatum is awesome. He was kind of my early MVP candidate. When it was time to start talking about MVPs back in the regular season, he was my guy because he was on the best team. I was kind of going that route. But I think he's completely getting overlooked a lot of the times. He's a star on that team, and they're a really, really good team, Boston, that is. So Jason Tatum and the Celtics looking to go up 2-0 against the Pacers tonight. Big thank you to Rother Brothers over in Clinton, Highway 183, just north of Clinton. Give them a call, 580-323-1981. They're a family-owned dealership started by its three owners in Kingfisher in 1976. They've since grown out into western Oklahoma, Clinton, Fairview, of course, Kingfisher. Go check him out. Go see Justin. He'll hook you up. Case IH, Polaris, Great Plains, Rhino, Dixie Chopper Mowers, Steel Commercial and Residential Tools, Honda. I mean, I can go on and on. All these great name brands over there at Rother Brothers in Clinton. I can go see Justin and tell him Neon is awesome at softball. Forgot to mention about the Paragon app. Just search Paragon. You'll see the infamous Paragon logo. Download it for free. Listen to us for free. Listen to all of our Paragon radio properties for absolutely free. And you also have access to Paragon TV and Big Elk TV when they are in season. Obviously, right now, not in season. But, man, this is, we get a time to take a breath in the summertime, maybe get a vacation in, and then we'll blink and it'll be football season. Hey, big thank you to Boomtown Grill, always helping us out here on the show. Go check them out. They got great food over there. Thursdays, that's today, 50-cent boneless chicken wings. That's the wing special. Your choice of sauces, mild, chipotle, sriracha, garlic, parmesan, mango, habanero, hot barbecue, kickin' bourbon, sweet red chili. That is Boomtown Grill in Elk City, right there on South Main. Happy hour from 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. Appetizer plates, drink specials, 11 beers on tap, 30 bottled and canned beers available. House favorite is the smoked old fashioned. I've had it. It's good. Go check them out. 2103 South Main Street. Great place to go catch all the games today, tomorrow, whenever. It's Boomtown Grill in Elk City. You know, the new football districts are out. We had a tentative schedule before that, and now have to get a new one. I'm not sure if a new one has been released just yet, but Coach Hunt, anyways, for the Big Elks, has been really gracious for us and always keeping us in the loop when, and usually Aaron's the first to get one of those schedules as he sends it out. So when that is officially out, I don't want to speculate on anything. We know who opponents will be district-wise, but we don't know. I think some non-district opponents will remain. Some will have to be altered, and even dates would have to be altered, I think. But when all that's finalized, we will totally get that out there for you. But it is summer. It is baseball season, and we have the Big 12 baseball tournament underway. It's actually day three. This is a long tournament. Started on Tuesday, goes all the way to Saturday, I believe, for the championship game. OU coming in at the one seed, OSU the two seed. By the way, the coolest thing ever, I think, when the two state schools are one and two in either order. That's very, very cool. They both got wins in their opening round games yesterday. OU played TCU, who got there by beating West Virginia, being the lowest seeded team to win on that side of the bracket. Confused yet? Yeah, go look up this bracket and try to figure it out, because there is a double elimination process until you, I believe, get to the semifinals, and then it's single elimination, which makes no sense to me at all, because, for instance, if OU and OSU win their games today, they're in the semifinals, and all of a sudden they're one and done after that if they lose. What happened to awarding the top seeds with chances to win this thing? But and then your lower seeds got a day of rest yesterday after they started on Wednesday, Tuesday, got a day off. Some did. It's very weird. Anyways, end of the day, just win. Should be fine if you're OU and OSU. They did that yesterday. They beat TCU. OU did 4-0 in a game that everybody felt like, at least I did, coming into based on the pitching matchup. The young man from Bethany, I believe, pitched for TCU. Big, strong lefty. And OU threw out their best. And it was a 4-0 win for OU. They had a couple of back-to-back home runs that were quite literally back-to-back pitches. And that broke the thing wide open. And they'll move on to take on Kansas today at 12:30 this afternoon. OSU got a convincing win over Texas Tech, 7-2. They'll take on Central Florida. They are the 9 seed, I believe that's right. It's kind of a blurry bracket. I can't really read it. But, I mean, that comes with age, right? The blurriness of words and numbers. But regardless, they'll take on the lower-seeded Central Florida team at 7:30 tonight. Now, if OU and OSU both win, they're both on into the semifinals. On the opposite side of the bracket, I am all in for an all-Bedlam final. You got to be with me on that one if you're an OU fan or OSU fan or just a college baseball fan in general. You want rivals and finals, and that would be the greatest one right there. Be kind of like when OU got to the finals a couple of seasons ago. Was that 22? Yeah, they took on Texas and got the win in that one. This would be way better, way better. So OU and OSU, and quite frankly, unless things go really, really right and they can find their way to each other in the College World Series, that'd be cool. But that could possibly be the last time OU and OSU play for something that means something. I'm sure they'll pick up and I haven't heard on the baseball side. We know on the softball side that they will continue to play non-conference games, a series in Oklahoma City, which is great. I would certainly hope that OU and OSU in baseball do the same thing, maybe kind of like how they would take a series of Tulsa or to Oklahoma City, or maybe on the home campuses. Just figure it out and continue the Bedlam baseball series, because both teams right now, anyways, are kind of on the up and up and really, really good, and obviously with being the 1 and 2 seed. So I'm all in for them getting a couple more wins, getting to the semifinals, or after today, win that semifinal game, which would be on Friday, tomorrow, and get that championship game on Saturday night against each other. That would be must-watch television. So Boomer Sooner, go Pokes, get it done. Other games at the Big 12 tournament. Kansas State yesterday defeated West Virginia 8-4. West Virginia is eliminated. Kansas State and TCU are playing right now. They're the first game out of the gate at 9 a.m. And Cincinnati, I'm calling it upset, based on seeding and ranking, they defeated Texas 8-7. Texas has been eliminated. That's it. Texas is done in the Big 12. They're out. Out of here. See ya. I mean, right? Softball's still going, I guess. I'm kind of counting down the date of July 1 so we can say both OU and Texas are in the SEC. But anyways, for baseball, though, that's the last Big 12 baseball game for Texas. They lose at 8-7. Cincinnati will take on Texas Tech today at 4 p.m. in an elimination game. So that's your Big 12 tournament update. And we'll update you again tomorrow. We'll probably dive really on into it based on tomorrow's results or today's results. Oh, you're the 1 seed. Again, Kansas is the 7 seed in their game. And Central Florida, they are the 8 seed. That's right. It was a little blurry. Couldn't tell if it was 8 or 9. They are the 8 seed. Had an input on the text line about hockey, if you like hockey or not. From Scott says, it's like baseball, not a big fan on TV, but love it live in the bleachers. I can attest to that. That is very true. Even the minor league hockey, I mean, we all remember the Blazers, and they were a lot of fun. Been to a ton of those games growing up. Went to the Barons when they were here. It is a fun brand of sport. It's a fun brand of sport. It is so fast and fun and loud and violent at times, obviously, with the fighting and stuff like that. It is very fun. But I do like it on TV, though, especially. And then some people will tell me about hockey. I don't understand the rules of hockey, so I don't watch hockey. Kind of like soccer, too. People don't understand soccer because they just don't. Well, what's an offsides? What, I don't understand. You know, they just don't. You can't use your hands. That's about it. But hockey, though, I this is a weird way how I learned hockey. I learned hockey. Back in my college days, I played a game on my PlayStation. It was a NHL name of the year, NHL whatever, made by EA Sports. And by playing that game, I was getting penalized for being offsides or, you know, checking and stuff like that. And it made me understand the rules of hockey. So by doing that, now I will watch hockey and completely understand it, but to a minimal extent. I don't know full strategies or line changes and all that stuff, too many men on the ice, all that stuff. But knowing the game itself, just to know some of the rules, has made me appreciate and watch it to watch it on TV. And again, Stanley Cup hockey playoffs, the playoffs, watching on TV, being there, whatever. That, I mean, I've never been to a playoff game, but that right there is very watchable to me. But I think just playing the sport too is why a lot of fans, just that's why I asked. I'm sure we don't have a lot of people out here in Western Oklahoma that have played hockey, like on in the rink, pads on, stick, all that stuff, playing hockey. Sure, we don't have a lot of that out here, but and I know Scott said, you know, like baseball's not a big fan. I don't know, Scott, if you played baseball or not. I mean, just I played baseball growing up all the way through high school, and so I can turn a baseball game on, don't care who's playing, and watch it just because I played it. Again, understand the rules and quite frankly miss playing it. So, yeah, that's why I like baseball. But hockey, I give you the reasons why I like hockey. It's just a really fun sport. And you're right, Dr. Walker can help me with my blurry vision there. Absolutely she can. Jared Atha with you in studio filling in for Aaron, who is out today. And I was kind of scrambling and scrambling, like, okay, what can I talk about? What can we cover? Who can I get on the air? So at practice last night with our little kids, and I thought, okay, this is the perfect guy to get. This is Jeremy Gray. We all know Jeremy Gray, who's pretty much everywhere. Jeremy, you are at every softball game in Western Oklahoma, and then you're at every basketball game that you can attend, not just in Western Oklahoma, but sometimes in Dallas and Lubbock and Amarillo, and I think maybe up in Iowa. I don't know, but you're all over the place. I don't know how you do it. So thanks for hanging out with me for just the moments of free time that I got you, bud. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just trying to rest in between trips.
Oh man, people ask me all the time, how does he do that? How does he just go? He always brings the energy wherever you see him, but he has all these girls that he's following everywhere. How does he do it? And I say, well, I question myself sometimes because I have two kids and sometimes they're at the same thing at the same time and all that stuff. And I just keep saying, what gives me energy is I keep telling myself, we only get one shot at this to be a parent and be at their stuff. So that gives me motivation. Do you kind of approach it like that too?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I just love being around, first of all, my kids, and love being around what they love. And, you know, fortunate to be in Canute where we got a bunch of families, a bunch of kids that love the same thing. So it's just a joy being around the kids. I tell you, the best way I can get through it is take God with me everywhere I go. There's some days where I may leave him in a car for a practice, and it shows. I turn into a turd. But as long as I got him with me, I can generally make it through.
Those coaches see that and say, hey. So now you tell us, like, hey, go to his truck, get his Bible or something. Go, so we can calm him down. But we're really fortunate what we got going on. And, you know, I know this is kind of off topic, but after this past weekend, you know, we went over to Edmond to the tournament out there. Great tournament. I thought it was put on well and dub. But we got sandblasted with the dirt and the wind and all that stuff. And you know, we were all kind of looking at each other like, man, we really got lucky out here in Oak City with the turf fields. I'd say we do. I've always said that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You got dust all over everything when you're throwing it back in the car. You know, we wore white pants. You know, moms are messaging on the group me about having to clean their white pants. You know, we don't have to deal with that all the time out here in Elk City. So we're definitely blessed with the turf.
100%, 100%. And speaking of which, we had, I don't know why, we sent my little girl's pants to our one of our coaches' house so she could clean them. I don't know if that's a mom fail on my wife's part. She the white pants, so, and she's actually messing me right now trying to get into the office to deliver these clean white pants for tonight. Hopefully we play tonight. I don't know, and that's something I haven't mentioned since I've been on air. There is chances of rains and rain and thunderstorms today, even though it's a 20% chance. But if memory serves me right, it was a 20% chance on Sunday, and then we saw what happened. So something to keep an eye on. It kind of feels kind of yucky out there. But, you know, we'll stay with softball, and the Super Regionals start today. Two out of the eight Super Regionals start today. So right out of the gate, one of the best teams in the country, OU, will start their Super Regional against Florida State tonight at 6 o'clock, followed by Georgia at UCLA at 8:30. And the rest of them start tomorrow, Arizona at OSU tomorrow at 7 o'clock. But back to OU and Florida State, number 2 seed and the 15 seed. It's kind of projected a few weeks out that this is a possibility, and here it is. But hearing some late-breaking news that Florida State's best pitcher is out, that totally changes things for their chances to come in the Loves Field and get a couple of wins. But OU as a whole, I don't think they're as unbeatable. I mean, they've shown some cracks in their armor and their title defense and trying to be the first team to ever win four in a row. Off the top of your head, Jeremy, what do you think about OU's chances, not just to get out of the Super Regional, but maybe win the whole dang thing?
Well, I mean, it's tough because OU's got this target on their back, and they've showed the last 3 years that they can, you know, they can still perform and still play. But this year, they've shown so many signs of weakness that they kind of came back to reality a little bit. I think that as far as the rest of the country goes, that fear factor, I don't think anybody fears them right now. I think a lot of that has to do with the bat, just not hitting the home runs and just not putting up the big numbers like they were before. You know, FSU, they're 46-14 right now, ranked 15th in the nation. They've been there. They've been there year in, year out. They won a title right before OU won theirs. So I think this is going to be a tough matchup for OU because, you know, like I said, nobody is afraid of them right now. Now, that could all change. You know, OU could put pin on FSU tonight and put the rest of the country on alert and say, okay, well, maybe they're figuring some things out. But I still like OU. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, betting against the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. You know, until somebody takes them down, I'm not going to bet against OU, that's for sure.
Yeah, a couple things on that. One, you mentioned everyone else getting better. This is going to sound very kind of, arrogant. I don't know if arrogant's a word, but there's a time during this run, during this dynasty that Coach Gasso has built, that I thought I was questioning it, meaning, well, are they really, really good, or is everyone else really mediocre? And now I think it's, yeah, they are really, really good, and everyone else realized, we got to get to that level, or we're never going to beat them. We're never going to have a chance. And I think because of that, and just look 86 miles to the north at in Stillwater, he made a great point after that Bedlam series was, I didn't go recruit kids that were good. I recruited kids that were not scared to play OU. And that in itself has made them better. That brought them up to that level. And clearly they took that series. So I think a large part of OU has they deserve so much credit, and Gasso deserves so much credit for building this sport up and making it so the quality is so good, not just in Norman, but down in Austin, in Stillwater. Obviously, UCLA and in Arizona, we know about them and their history, and Florida State, and Alabama has been in the discussion, and you're seeing a lot of these really, really good teams now, which is great for the sport. It makes it so super watchable and fun to watch, and fun to attend. Don't kid yourself. We have a rare night off on Friday. I've reached out to my people trying to find tickets. I'm thinking I want to take my kids and see if we can go. But by the way, I couldn't find any. They're all sold out. But OU, I think losing the Texas in that series that they lost, and then losing Bedlam, and I think it really woke them up, because then they've turned around. I say turn around, it's so weird to say with OU. They go and win the Big 12 tournament. And I thought, uh-oh, that kind of clicked for them. Maybe that woke them up. And maybe now they're waking up at the right time. They got through the regional, and here they are in the super regional. And you're right. What if they come out tonight, blast Florida State, and everyone's going to go, well, here we go. They're back. They're on a mission. Should be interesting. Yeah. OSU, I don't know if it's a favor to Arizona upset their way into this super regional, but it's still Arizona. They still have such a pedigree and a history of really good softball at their university. But now they got to come to Stillwater, who's playing really, really good. Thoughts on Gajewski and what he's done over in Stillwater?
He's done an absolutely great job. I mean, he has brought in the talent, you know. It's hard to bounce back when your best pitcher says, you know what, I'm going to go down the road and play at your rival. But he has filled the gap, and I think just that one transfer kind of motivated the rest of the team and say, you know what, we're worth staying for, and we're going to go out there and prove it. So I think this year has been a year of proving for them. I believe Oklahoma State can win a national title this year. There's no doubt in my mind. Like you said, they play Arizona. Caitlin Lowe, she's come in and done a really good job coaching them. Very rarely do you see them unranked, but there's so much history there. I mean, like you said, Arizona is Arizona. Caitlin Lowe, when she was a player, she won two national titles there at Arizona, so she knows how to win. But I still like Oklahoma State. I mean, the Big 12 conference is kind of like the Western Conference in basketball, in NBA. You know, OU pretty much changed the game, and the Big 12 teams that see Oklahoma year in and year out, they had to change what they're doing, and they've done it, and they've turned into one of the best, if not the best, conference in NCAA softball. So I like OSU in this series. I think OU and OSU are both going to be there. But yeah, Gajewski's done an amazing job. And you know, we have some local kids that go to some of his camps and have been to OU camps. And really, I hear a lot more, you know, praise coming from the ones who went to Kenny Gajewski's camps and just how, you know, just good of a dude he is. He's there and he tries to help you. And so I really like what he's got going on over there in Stillwater.
You know, losing Maxwell, it felt like, you're right, at the time that was so detrimental to OSU, but all they did was go and they got a transfer themselves from Lexi Kilfoyle. And now all of a sudden she's in the finals for the College Softball Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good replacement right there. I think they won that quote-unquote trade or whatever you want to call it. So that's pretty good for – and I've heard that too about Gajewski and his camp, and he's such a likable dude. And people know me. I'm a big OU fan. I like the guy so much. I know he was an OU guy. He played baseball at OU, but just to hear him talk, he says all the right things. He's not a jerk. He's just a fun guy to root for, and he has made it where this OU fan – is rooting for OSU when they're not playing for OU or playing against OU. So I'm all about it. I really hope. And I said it about baseball. I hope OU and OSU get to the Big 12 tournament finals if they can get a couple more wins. I'm all about an OU-OSU meetup in the Women's College World Series. I'm not sure the path allows that to happen in the finals. It might be before. But I'm all about it because that is so good, not just for the sport, but for the state and how awesome that would be. So that is very cool. Let's move on. I wanted to talk about, we kind of gave you homework yesterday inadvertently about college football top five storylines. And we'll probably continue this discussion tomorrow with Aaron when he gets back. But we brought you into that. You're a football guy, so... And this will probably change. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could happen between now and the start of college football season. But let's kind of talk about them in no particular order. By the way, on the line with us is Jeremy Gray. Tell us some of your top storylines, maybe five storylines you have in college football that's leading into this season or something we could be looking for during this season.
Well, my one and two are dependent on one thing, and Colorado winning. If Colorado is winning this year, Deion Sanders, and I don't mean Colorado, I mean Deion Sanders, will be the topic. I mean, he was the number one storyline all last year, and they weren't very good. So if Colorado can play with the big boys, can have a run at the, you know, have a good run first year in the Big 12 and make a chance to get into the playoff system, I believe that Deion Sanders in Colorado will be the number one storyline in all of college football. If they don't, it's got to be, especially the first half of this season, it's got to be Alabama post Saban. I mean, Alabama has been, you know, the top storyline for as long as I can remember. And Saban, you know, what's football going to be like without Nick Saban? Without, you know, if Alabama's not any good, I mean, it's just. One and two are interchangeable for me right there with Deion and Saban. But, you know, the rest of them, you know, it's easy. This will be the first year of the college playoffs. I mean, who's going to get in? Who's not going to get in? Who is 12 enough? You know, it's going to be a big topic this year, in my opinion. And then, of course, I got OU and Texas going to the SEC. that may just be, you know, local flavor. You know, that may be what's on all of our minds out here. But I think it's going to be a top storyline. I mean, two of the biggest programs in all of college football moving over to the best conference in all of college football. That's a big story for me. And then kind of my dark horse here is Arch Manning. Can he sit on the bench any longer, you know? Or will he get his opportunity to come in and be the starter? And if he doesn't, you know, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Because for whatever reason, that last name Manning, it draws a lot of attention, and ESPN likes to talk about it. So that's just kind of my five that I came up with yesterday.
Yeah, I have some of the same. The OU Texas thing, the SEC, I don't think it's a home cooking type thing. I think as far as our interest level, I think it is a national thing. They are two big time universities, big time football programs, making the move into the best football conference in the country traditionally. That's a big thing. That's a big storyline. But along with that, kind of 1A and 1B, you know, the other moves, you got UCLA, Oregon, USC, Washington. You got them moving to the Big Ten. So the Big Ten is going to look totally different. And that starts immediately this. You know, that's the thing. This came right in the middle of the season, it felt like. That announcement, well, the OU Texas thing came, what, 2-3 years ago? And we had to wait for this day to come, and you know, a lot of stuff had to happen. And now, I mean, that just is just happening so fast. It's all happening at once. So the landscape itself of college football for conference wise is totally changing. So that's a big storyline for me. I'm with you on the post Saban era at Alabama. What's that going to look like? You know, we're going to talk a lot about this summer, and I kind of mentioned it yesterday about a team who we like, who we don't like, in a post top 20, post spring top 25 that ESPN put out, and you know, Alabama's still in the top 10, but kind of down there around 7 or 8. I'm not going to count them out. I have to see it to believe it, because every time you count out Alabama, there they go, they win a game, or they're in the playoff, or they win the SEC championship, or something like that. But I know that was with Saban. But it's still Alabama. They're still – it's kind of like what Bob Stoops said when Lincoln Riley left. Nobody is bigger than the program. And I think a little bit of that could be applied to Alabama. Alabama was already big before Saban got there. Now, he just made them astronomically bigger. But it's still a very – so, you know, and then he left that program still astronomically big. So I'm not counting out Alabama by any means just because Saban's gone. The new playoff format, my question to this, my storyline to this is, well, how does it change? Because it used to be, you know, with the four-team playoff format, it felt like at times, depending on when or against who, but if you lost one game, you can almost say that was an elimination game. We're done. We're out. There's no way we can't, because of that loss, they were eliminated for a conference championship game, thus eliminated out of a possible chance to get an at-large into a Final Four of this playoff system. Now there's 12. So does it change an approach of, I don't know, I'm not suggesting resting players or something, but if it's, you know, hey, OU plays Maine in November. We don't need to start Jackson Arnold. We're undefeated. I don't know. Does it change the approach for some teams and thinking, well, we really don't want to be this seed? Because that's another thing. Well, we start seeing, okay, the projected seeds for this week from ESPN and CBS Sports, and well, they have like kind of like you see, you know, who's on the bubble, like a NCAA March Madness, right? Will there be teams on the bubble? And this is a must win. If they don't win, they're off the bubble and they're not in. They're the first two out, whatever. So the new playoff format is totally a storyline. You got stars in new homes. Dylan Gabriel's one that stands out, going up to Oregon. We talked about him yesterday. There's some others. Some of those Alabama players have moved on to other homes. Looks felt like there was a pipeline from Tuscaloosa to Columbus, Ohio. And so is Ohio State the new Alabama? And so there, you're going to see a lot of familiar names in different jerseys. And that's a fun one for me. But I don't know about you, Jeremy. Growing up, going through college, up until it stopped, they stopped making it, I played NCAA football. I played with my boys. We had the online dynasties. We did it all. It was a joy. It was so much fun. We scheduled our days around it. I won't go this far, but it felt like we were scheduling our classes around it. But now it went away. 10 years later, all the legal stuff, they figured it out. It's back. Now you're seeing the commercials. You can pre-order the game. NCAA football is back. Now I'm 40 now. So I'm trying to convince a certain someone to let me buy a PlayStation so I can play this game. And I'm being told, you don't have time for video games. You have two daughters who play real games. You don't have time for but I am very excited about this. And Kirk Herbstreit was on with Pat McAfee yesterday talking about this very game. And he put out a good point. And this all kind of comes full circle with my storylines. He talked about with this new playoff format how you can simulate in the game already, you know, how that's going to work. And so it's going to educate those who are not familiar how the new playoff format works, who gets in, who doesn't get in. So he says this game is coming out at the most pivotal and perfect time for college football fans because there's so much change happening with the new teams and new conferences, playoff format, all of that stuff. And it's just awesome to have it back. It just adds to the pageantry of the game and gets the excitement. I think the excitement level for the game. So those are my top five storylines. I can't wait for college football. I don't care what the year is, what your team might look like. There's always that hope that maybe they will surprise some people. Obviously, I'm talking about OU with their 7.5 over-under win total from Vegas. I think it's a way over. But I'm excited, very excited for this upcoming season. But
there's a lot to be excited for.
Yeah, you know, Brent Venables in year three, I've heard this talked about, is in year three of a head coach, that's the leap year. That's the year that they can take off and be really good. But it's such an oddity because it's OU's first year in the SEC. So it kind of gives you a pause, well, wait a minute. If they were still in the Big 12, maybe that could be that year. But it's the first year in the SEC. That's a totally different animal. And then here's a question. Does that lengthen his leash? Because it's almost like a reset. It's like, okay, yeah, you're a third-year head coach, but it's your first year in the SEC. So we're going to give you a little bit leniency if you don't do very good this first year. I don't know about that. And, of course, other storylines are who's going to get on the hot seat? You know, who is on the hot seat? Where could coaches wind up next year? And you mentioned Deion. I mean, what if he does win big at Colorado? Well, what if other schools like a Florida State call him? I don't know what's going to happen to Florida State, but there's all these. So that's always the stuff to watch for every season in college football. All right, man. Thanks for being on with me and helping me get through this. I appreciate you. Hopefully I see you tonight at the softball fields. Don't know what the weather's going to do, but we'll hold our breath and find out.
Yep. Hopefully we'll see you tonight. Have a good day, Jared.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, see ya.
That was Jeremy Gray helping me out, talking a little bit about college softball and college football top five storylines. We'll rehash this topic more often than not throughout the off season, throughout the summer here. And I'm sure Aaron will cover that tomorrow too, get his opinion. He kind of threw me an audible. He was kind of filling in over at the golf tournament at the golf course, the Firefighters Golf Tournament. Great golf tournament. I've always heard good things about it for a great cause too. But I'm sure we'll talk about it again. And I know we will talk about what we're going to eat for Memorial Day. I know what I'm cooking. What's Aaron cooking? What are you cooking? That's always a fun topic. And who knows? I might run to the store and grab some new flavors of ice cream, do a little taste test before our Memorial Day weekend. We'll try that tomorrow. Here, we have a wonderful day. Take care.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.